I just want to talk a bit about how I became a Christian today, because there's so many things you can talk about, obviously, when you give your testimony, but I think most of you know my more recent history and the things I've been through over the last year and what God's done for me. So I'm going to go back a bit to the beginning and talk about how I became a Christian and what happened over the years, how I went astray and everything. It's not an easy thing to talk about, but I'm hoping it will be helpful to people. And I've written it down so that I don't ramble, but I've just noticed I'm rambling already, so I'll get started. So it all started when I was 8 years old. I went to a Christian summer camp called Checker Tree Camp, which still runs today for children. And it was there that I first found out about Jesus and fell in love with Jesus, basically. And I was a child, I had a deep conviction that I would always love him and nothing would ever get in the way of that. And I promised my life to him. And as I grew up, I prayed for guidance in things. I'm not sure how well I listened, but I did pray. And immediately I was blessed with gifts, as I think people often are when they give their life to God, especially musical gifts. But I also immediately came under spiritual attack. As a child, I was tormented by visions of things that were quite frightening, always happened when no one else was around. And I also heard noises at night that no one else heard. And as I got older, I sometimes had experiences of the bed rocking and just things going on that were sort of obviously designed to frighten me, and it worked. I think my parents and teachers were probably quite worried about me at that stage, but so I stopped talking about it because they thought there was something wrong with me. But I became quite tired, obviously, withdrawn, and I felt quite isolated as a child. After school, I went to Brighton to study a music degree. I prayed to God to guide me which university to go to, and I felt he was leading me there because in the interview, I felt very compelled to talk about my faith. But my first year at university was really hard. I was extremely lonely. I found it very difficult to make friends. I didn't seem to fit in anywhere, not even at the Christian Union. But I eventually met a group of girls who were looking for a flatmate for the second year, and they were really nice, and we got on really well, so I moved in with them. But they weren't Christians, and in my need to fit in, I started behaving like them, going to nightclubs, getting drunk, and finally getting a boyfriend who also wasn't a Christian. He smoked a lot of dope, and I experimented a couple of times with drugs. I think God protected me a lot from the effects of them. I didn't realise at that time that I'd started on a slippery slope away from God. I told myself I wasn't doing any harm, I was in love, I had a nice group of friends. So you can see how, you know, I'm making excuses. I knew what I was doing was wrong, but I made excuses for it. After a couple of years, I moved in with my boyfriend, which was, you know, quite a normal thing to do. And even though we weren't married, I told myself that I was totally committed to him and I loved him and that I would marry him as soon as he was ready. You see again how I was making excuses because I knew it wasn't right. However, after he was from Greece, and after his degree, he moved back to Greece, so that kind of put a spanner in my plans, really. But we kept on having a long-distance relationship, and after a couple of years, I decided to follow him to Greece, and I moved there in 2004. But once again, I found myself in quite a difficult situation. I didn't have any friends in Greece. I struggled to learn Greek. I hated my job teaching English. Sorry to all English teachers out there, but it wasn't for me. And my boyfriend still showed little sign of committing to me. So one day, I was alone in my apartment in tears. I cried out to God for guidance. Nothing was working out. Should I stay in Greece or should I go home? But the next day, I saw an ad in the English language newspaper for an English singer-songwriter. And I thought, perfect, that must be for me. I thought it must be an answer to prayer. Little did I know, at that time, I was about to enter a period in my life when my Christian faith would really be tested to its limits. Even though I'd already gone quite far astray, my faith was going to be tested to its limits. So through the ad, I made friends with somebody who shared my interest in God and Jesus. His idea for the music project was to use music to bring light into what he felt was a very dark world. We spent hours talking about religion and philosophy, and I was sure that God was guiding me to work with this man. He and his family were so loving, so friendly. They took me under their wing. They gave me somewhere to live. They made me feel like one of them. They're really, truly wonderful people. However, his version of Christianity was really quite different to what I was used to, what I'd grown up with. And it had a very New Age twist to it. He was also very interested in something called Theosophy. And he was interested in Hinduism, and both of these, I realised afterwards, have been linked to the occult. But we often spoke about these things, and we spoke about spiritual experiences. Eventually, my relationship with my boyfriend came to an end after 8 years, as it became clear he was never going to make a commitment to me. But I was happy because of my new friends and our shared passion for music, and it gave me a feeling of purpose in my life, so I was happy then. In 2007, I ended up taking a year off work to focus on recording our songs. Around this time, I started seeing, I thought they were signs. I was having very strange dreams, something called lucid dreaming, where you couldn't kind of control your dreaming. Talked about it with my friends. We were talking about, oh, maybe these are visions of a past life or glimpses of other spiritual realms. It was really quite a strange experience. And the other thing that happened at the time was that I was seeing synchronous numbers everywhere. Just suddenly started happening, that every time I looked at the clock or at the computer or at the television or even number plates and cards, I was seeing synchronous numbers, 11, 11, 12, 12, 13, 13. It was happening so regularly. I'd wake up in the night and look at the clock, it'd be 3:03. I woke up in the morning, looked at the clock, it'd be 7:07. And I really didn't know what this was all about. So, you know, I thought, well, this must be a sign from God. What are you trying to tell me, God? And I prayed about it. I studied numerology, looked into that. I thought, what is this about? But none of it made any sense to me. And the only other thing that I saw repeatedly was the number 14, which I was seeing everywhere, and I felt it must be significant. But I didn't get any answers at the time. And I just kind of in the end accepted that this is a strange thing. If it's God talking to me, I'm sure he would be clear what it means. But, you know, I just put it aside because I just didn't know. Anyway, after a while, me and the other people in the music group realised that the music wasn't going to pay the bills. So I got a new job. And it was there that I met my second boyfriend, a man called Bobby. And I started a relationship with him. He was very kind, very compassionate. We shared a passion for helping the stray animals in Greece, and he was a lovely man. Unfortunately, he was also very into something called Law of Attraction and mindfulness. I don't know if you remember this, back in sort of the 2000s, it was quite a big thing. He believed that in the power of positive thinking as a form of meditation. He believed that through this he could become rich and successful by thinking things into his life, which, if you know anything about it, it is actually quite a cult in that aspect. It's also, mindfulness is a very self-centered practice. It goes under the disguise of self-help, but it has little room for God. And to be honest, he had little room for God or religion in his life. He also had a friend who claimed to be a white witch. I'm sorry if this all sounds a bit strange. And I was speaking to this guy one day about my dreams and experiences, and he decided to take it upon himself to start instructing me in the occult. I have to say, I never stopped believing in God. I never stopped believing in Jesus. In fact, through all these things, I felt that I would come to gain knowledge that would bring me closer to God, bring me into more understanding of him. But I was looking for answers in all the wrong places. I rarely read my Bible, just sat by my bed unopened. I wasn't going to church, there was no Christian input in my life at that point. But to be fair, English churches in Greece, in Athens, were few and far between, and the Orthodox religion was very strange to me. You know, all this incense and gold and icons of saints, I just felt it was, didn't seem authentic. So, after all this, Bobby and I unfortunately started to experience spiritual attack. Perhaps we invited it into our lives, I don't know. For me, a lot of people could say that I had something called sleep paralysis. If you're interested, I can tell you more. But basically, the sleep paralysis feels very much like demonic attack. It was very frightening. And I often found myself praying the Lord's Prayer over and over until, you know, the experiences stopped, and they did. So I had that. I turned to the Lord when I was afraid, and it helped. I didn't know what else to do. But for my boyfriend, it was much worse, because he didn't have that. He didn't have the Lord to turn to. He became mentally ill, and he tried to drink his way out of it. He was consuming dangerous amounts of alcohol. When he was drunk, he would behave terribly, and he would later feel so bad about it, he would have suicidal thoughts. And one time when he was very drunk, I had to go to our neighbours to get away from him. He followed. And it was a very strange experience, because we all noticed that it was like Bobby wasn't himself. You could look in his eyes, and it really wasn't him looking back at you. At the same time, as soon as he returned, we all noticed. So it was a very strange experience. He started speaking about evil spirits trying to get inside him and make him do things he didn't want to do. He didn't trust doctors. He wouldn't go to a priest because he believed they were all corrupt, and to be honest, knowing the Greek Orthodox Church, I expect some of them probably were. He started displaying symptoms of paranoia, possibly even schizophrenia. But anyway, we both realised we needed to get away from this situation, and in 2010 we decided to move back to England, where we could have a fresh start. And at first it seemed to work, but after a while he started getting ill again. And one day he said that the evil spirits were now trying to get him through me. At which point I realised for the first time in my life that my life was at risk. Which is quite a shock. If you've ever felt that way, it's quite a shock. It was enough of a shock to leave him. He went back to Greece, from where he sent me some, you know, horrible photos of strange apparitions in his apartment, just to prove that he wasn't ill and that there was something going on. I didn't know what to believe at the time, but I did know I couldn't help him. He told me that I'd abandoned him at the darkest point of his life, which is probably true. But I don't know what else I could have done, and I don't know what happened to him. I don't imagine it was good. It's probably one of my biggest regrets, that whole period of my life. Anyway, I thanked God for getting me through this experience. I did thank God. But I started looking for peace, to find peace in meditation and Tai Chi and other things like that. And I was still looking for the love I was looking for. I was still trying to find it in relationships with men. I started a long-distance relationship with George, who was a man who had recorded our songs in Greece. He owned the studio. And I'd always secretly held a flame for him, but he'd been married at the time. Anyway, he'd recently gone through a messy divorce, and our relationship was a struggle from the beginning. After a couple of years, I ended it, but I was surprised to see how upset he was. And he phoned me up one day, and we were speaking on the phone, and he told me he had hit a really low point after our breakup, but then he had found God. So I was quite shocked. I was like, what do you mean? So I asked him about it. And then I said out loud that I wanted to find God again. And the minute I spoke those words, I knew that I meant them with all my heart. And I also knew that God would respond. I waited, and a couple of weeks later, a friend invited me to her son's baptism at All Saints in Lewes. And on the day, I thought, oh, is this it, God? You're going to respond now. So I'm walking up to this this old Anglican church building, looking at it and thinking, I really don't think I'm going to find God here, you know. I grew up in the Anglican church and look what happened. but I was so wrong. During the service, God spoke to me very powerfully, and he told me I was home. The preacher was speaking on Psalm 119 about the life-giving quality of God's law and the importance of the living according to his word. And I realised in that instant that everything I've been searching for in other religions and in other spiritual practices, even in my relationships with men, had been in front of me all along in my Christian faith that I've strayed from, and in the Bible that I've neglected to read. And I realised that I had forgotten my first love. And over the next few months, excuse me, I had to go through a painful process of repentance. But I've never forgotten the overwhelming feeling of love and forgiveness that I felt that day in church. God had protected me through all of my mistakes, and he hadn't abandoned me, even though I had strayed from him. God had welcomed me home. Well, anyway, I agreed to meet George again. He visited me in England. I was excited about the prospect of a relationship with someone who knew God. It was perfect. We got engaged, but he struggled to understand and accept the changes that were taking place in my life. So although he claimed to have found God, it didn't seem to have changed him in any way. Whereas I felt I'd been purified by Jesus, and I wanted to stop sinning. I wanted to stop sleeping with him until we were married, which he struggled with. I also started serving as the administrator at All Saints, and I decided at that point that I couldn't move back to Greece. So we had that trouble where we were going to live, with him having children in Greece and me thinking, well, I'm kind of here, and this, I think this is where God wants me to be. So there was a distance growing between us, and that we couldn't seem to overcome, and we eventually called off our engagement, which was heartbreaking. Anyway, going forward a few years at All Saints, at the beginning of 2021, I started feeling that God was calling me out of All Saints, which was really hard because it had become my spiritual home and the people there were like family to me. And I struggled with this for several months, and in the end I prayed that if God wants me to go to a different church, that he would show me where. That very same day, I bumped into Ian and Francis at the supermarket. And I knew them from All Saints, which they had left 3 years previously to start Calvary Chapel Maidstone. I told them about the troubles I was having at All Saints, and I asked if I could visit one of their church meetings, and of course they said yes, and I started attending online. I think I was immediately impressed with the humility of the leaders at Calvary Chapel, by their spirit-led approach that they submit to the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. I was inspired by the literal interpretation of the Bible and the end times focus. It all really inspired me. And I felt that I was growing in my faith and developing a deeper relationship with God, which is exactly what I needed. So in July 2021, I left All Saints and started attending Calvary Chapel. And since moving to Calvary Chapel, you probably know I've seen so many prayers answered, and I've learned to wait on the Lord, which is really important. At the beginning of this year, I gave up my job because I was suffering from a bad back, and I also felt I needed some time to rest in the Lord and to focus on my health. My mother had also been waiting for back surgery for several months, and I was busy helping her out with the dogs and as well as hospital appointments. I started volunteering at the Retreat Farm Animal Sanctuary, where I had learned so much about God through taking care of his creation, through caring for his creation. I really felt I've learned so much about him, and through the selfless acts of the volunteers there as well. I've been led to a deeper appreciation of God's love for his creation. I also started serving at Unite International Cafe, where I've learned to submit to the Lord's call to all of us to reach out to non-believers. And as you know, we also go out on Saturdays into town to do that. And as the months have gone by, I've learned to put my trust in the Lord and not worry about finances. I've started to shift my focus away from work and towards him. I've started studying the Bible in greater depth because I've had the time to do it, which has been wonderful. And, you know, all of this has been motivated by the teaching and the conversations we've had at church. So I'm really grateful for that. But recently, I've realised that 2021 to 22, this year, is a Jewish Sabbath year, which happens every seventh year. God instructed the Jews to have a Sabbath year. And I suddenly realised that the last time I took a year of work also happened to coincide with a Jewish Sabbath year in 2007-2008. So I thought, oh, that's a bit strange. So I looked into it more, and I learned that the purpose of the Sabbath year is to rest the land, focus on spiritual pursuits instead of work, and exercise putting your trust in God's provision instead of our own strength. And all those things I have been learning about this year. So I thought back to 2007, when I was seeing these synchronous numbers and all these strange things were going on, and the number 14 was coming up all the time. And I realised that this is 14 years on from then. And I believe God was trying to get my attention back then with these signs. And he was telling me that something significant is going to happen in 14 years. And it certainly has been a significant year for me so far. I also think there's a lot of things happening in the world to suggest this is a significant Sabbath year. I'm certainly not where I imagined I would be in life 20 years ago, but trusting in my own strength and understanding led to nothing but failed relationships and jobs, spiritual attack, loneliness, confusion, whereas trusting in God has led to salvation, healing and a strength that comes only from Him. I have no idea what the future holds, but I'm convinced now that I need to wait on the Lord to guide me in my next steps. I'm just going to end with a bit from Psalm 119, which was the psalm that brought me back to repentance, and the end of Psalm 119, because I think it really is so relevant to my story. May my cry come before you, Lord. Give me understanding according to your word. May my supplication come before you. Deliver me according to your promise. May my lips overflow with praise for you to teach me your decrees. May my tongue sing of your word, for all your commands are righteous. May your hand be ready to help me, for I have chosen your precepts. I long for your salvation, Lord, and your law gives me delight. Let me live that I may praise you, and may your law sustain me. I have strayed like a lost sheep. Seek your servant, for I have not forgotten your commands.